As I thought about what to share this morning, I was really thinking about the greatest thing that has ever happened to me spiritually. And I would just ask you the question, what is the greatest thing that ever happened to you spiritually? Now, the immediate answer comes, well, when I got saved. Right? When I got born again, that was the greatest thing that happened. And really what I'm talking about today is that after you came to know Christ, after your new life was given to you, what's the greatest thing that ever happened to you? As I thought about this, a lot of things came to mind, and a lot of people came to mind. And there's just no way to go through and mention all the people that came to mind. But the thing that I thought of was actually a lesson. And the lesson was actually given to a group of people. You recognize anybody in there? I apologize for the picture, right? I had to take a picture on my phone of a photograph that was stuck in an old Bible. And so the photograph isn't that great, but there are some people that you might recognize from there. There's a big goofy dude in the back with a red sweatshirt with a brown goatee. Now it's kind of turned gray a little bit. There's Julia. There's Debbie. There's Mr. Puffer here in the right-hand corner. That's the youth group from 2002. What I have to share was actually given to us. And as I thought about it, it was the greatest thing that ever happened to me in my spiritual life. Now, at that time, the way it came to us was in the form, right, I made it so you couldn't read the words, right? It's just a sheet of paper. It's one sheet of paper. And at the top, it says the lesson on lessons. How to get the lesson that God is teaching you right now. And the lesson on lessons says that when you get the lesson from God, you should be able to summarize it in one sentence. Whatever God is saying to you right now, if somebody says to you, what are you learning from God? You should be able to say it in one sentence. Now, the sentence from the lesson is a question. And the question is, what has God been saying to you lately? And the sentence was given to the young people, but it was essentially given to me because when I thought about the answer, what's God been saying to me lately? Many times I don't know. Something. I know it's something, but I can't really say. And when I could say, God, what are you saying to me right now? Something happened to me. My spiritual intimacy with God just went to a different level. You might say, well, it's not really a thing. Okay, you can say whatever you want about it. For me, I know for a fact that when I started asking the question to people, did something to me also. I can remember asking Dick, and Dick and I used to play basketball, and we would be in the locker room at Rosford Rec Center. I wasn't planning on sharing this, but I remember hollering across the lockers to Dick and saying, Dick, what's God saying to you lately? And all the other men in the locker room, you could hear a real quiet come over them, right? Because they wanted to know too. They thought, wow, this, right? And Dick would have an answer, too. He would never just say, I don't know. And so what I found is there was power in the question. But I also found that there was a resistance to the question. People don't like the question. Some people might. But there's other people like, hey, I hope he doesn't ask me the question. Today, I'm going to share with you what God's been saying to me. And I'm going to share with you how he says it to me. But before we do that, before we get there, we should probably look at some scriptures and see why God wants us to know. He wants us to know the answer to that question. Let's pray. Father, here we are. We need you so much right now. Holy Spirit, we want you to be able to minister to us in such a way that today, when each one of us goes out the door, we will have heard from you and know exactly what it is you're saying to us. We just get a sense that our enemy doesn't want us to do that. He doesn't want us to hear from you. So please help us. Give us ears to hear. Would you just open up our hearts, our minds, and our spirit so that we can receive from you whatever it is you want to say to us. We say thanks for this time. We say thanks for your word. Most of all, we say thanks for Jesus. We love him. Help us to be more like him. And so we pray it in his name. Amen. All right, this is the portion that's actually listed first on the lesson on lessons. And I'm going to read it out loud. It's 1 Corinthians 2, 6 to 16. It's 10 verses. It says, yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows the person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. That's 10 verses that are packed full of so many things that there's no way we can cover those today. I actually have a slide that I'm going to skip by pretty, I'm not even going to look at this, just because I don't think we have the time right now to look at it. But for chapter 2 from 1 Corinthians mentions things, I don't know, 10 or 12 times. It's in the King James. The things that are mentioned are, that would be a great study. Right, you want to know what God is saying to you? Maybe he's saying to you right now, you should probably go figure out what those things are that are mentioned in the second chapter of 1 Corinthians. God, in his mercy to us, wants to communicate to us. When we look at this chapter, what we see is communication. We see many things that tell us that it's about communication. We see words like, we do impart wisdom. Or we impart a secret or hidden wisdom. Or no ear has heard. God revealed to us that we might understand. We impart in words. And then we see the results of communication. We see understanding and discernment. The question, what's God been saying to you lately? It's really about communication. It's communication between God and us. How does that happen? And I'm going to share with you how it happens for me. Jesus, when he was here on earth, what was he doing? Well, he did miracles, but most of the time he was communicating. He was communicating to his disciples. He was communicating to the Pharisees. He was actually communicating to everybody. Communication is very important to God. He sent his son so that we would know him, God the Father. He sent his word to testify of his existence and his purpose. Verse 10 tells us that he gave us the Holy Spirit to reveal the deep things of God. God is about communication. I came across this quote from Ray Pritchard. This is what he said. The Holy Spirit can reveal the truth of God to us because he knows the mind of God infallibly. That's verse 11. Paul argues by analogy from the lesser to the greater. Even among people who know each other very well, communication is difficult at best. For instance, when my wife and I have a conversation, there is always the challenge of communicating to each other what we really mean. On my side of the equation, you have what I'm thinking and what I meant to say, what I said and what I thought I said. On her side, there's what she hears, what she thought she heard, what she wanted to hear, and what she wishes she heard. He goes on, when she speaks, the process works in reverse. So, with just two people, you might have a dozen different messages and intentions flying back and forth. No wonder communication is so difficult. I know what I'm thinking, but it's often hard to put my thoughts into words. You only know what you hear me say. My spirit knows what I intend, even though my words may fall short of my intentions. Now, take the truth over to the divine realm. The Holy Spirit knows the mind of God because the Holy Spirit is God. He searches out the deep things of God. Nothing is hidden from him. Because he knows the mind of God, he can communicate the truth about God to us. Nothing is lost in translation. The Spirit wants to communicate to us today, to you and me. Before I go on, though, there's a question that comes up, right? When you ask somebody what's God been saying to you lately, the question is, does God still speak to people? Really? Does God still speak to us? Or does he just give us his word and that's it? He sent us a love letter, and we read the love letter, and that's it. And it's an honest question. And I think that sometimes people say, does God really speak to us? Because they're not sure whether God has ever spoken to them. They think to themselves, has God ever spoken to me? Did I hear it? What was it that he said? And I would say, yes. If you are a believer, he has spoken to you. And maybe you might not recognize what it is, and maybe today God will help you recognize how he has spoken to you. Hopefully today we'll all be challenged to listen for God speaking to us. Now, Jesus said, this is Jesus speaking, in John 27:10, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." You might say, well, that's kind of a picture to us. But I would say it's more than that. I would say it's the words of Jesus saying that my sheep will know my voice, and they'll follow me. As I was thinking about this communication, I actually came across another quotation, and this one's from Joe Stoll, who does Our Daily Bread. And he titled this one, "High Tech Communication." This is what he said. "When it comes to communication, our world is becoming increasingly high tech. The popularity of things like Twitter and Facebook might cause some to think the Bible is too old school. The tech-savvy people of our world might feel deterred because there's no sounds and no nifty graphics in the Bible. But the truth is, there's more high-tech power in God's word than any cutting-edge communication tool our world will ever know. It's not uncommon for a pastor to be told, 'When you said that in your message, it was just what I needed. Somehow, during the sermon, God spoke to the person's heart with a message tailor-made for him or her.' If you've ever read the Bible and sensed God speaking directly to you, you know what I'm talking about. God has hardwired you with his spirit who illumines your mind to understand his word. Imagine getting a text message directly from the creator of the universe telling you exactly what you need at exactly the right time. No matter how high-tech this world gets, you'll never experience a more powerful mode of communication. Rejoice in the reality that we have received the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God." God's communication to us is fantastic. Don't miss it. Now, many times I have said a prayer before I'm going to see my accountability partner, and the prayer is fairly simple. I just say, "God, would you allow him to be your voice to me today?" Because sometimes we have this desire to hear from God, and I would have to say that not one time comes to mind where I said that prayer where it didn't happen. My friend will be sitting across from me, and he'll be speaking, and his lips are moving, and God is speaking to me in my spirit. And I can understand what it is that he's saying. There's no question about, is that just my thought? Is my brain actually making this up? Or is God speaking to me? It's fantastic. It's so encouraging. And right, I would ask you, how did God do that? How did God speak to my heart? How does that happen? As I was studying this portion, I was really trying to figure out a way to share the essence of what's God been saying to you lately without doing it the way it was done 20 years ago. And I came across many things. One of them was from John MacArthur, and he actually summarized the last six verses like this. He said that 1 Corinthians 2, 10 to 16, 10 and 11 is true wisdom divinely revealed by revelation. Verses 12 and 13, he said, was true wisdom divinely revealed by inspiration. And verses 14 through 16 is true wisdom divinely revealed by illumination. So he said there were three things here: revelation, inspiration, and illumination. Now, we could take a whole sermon or a series of sermons to discuss those three things. And I'm not going to do that today. But just remember, we're promised, right, that the Holy Spirit, right, he gives us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. We're going to look at that verse in a second. We're inspired. How does God inspire us? Is it just our own thoughts that we think up something to do something inspirational for God? No. No, he inspires us. And he illuminates our minds. As I was thinking about this, I thought, how do we know? How do we know what God is saying to us? I looked up this word know. And it's kind of in verse 14. I'm sorry about the font there. The word in verse 14 is actually understand. This is what it says. Know, or eido, is a Greek word, is distinguished from gnosko, which is translated understand in verse 14. Gnosko generally refers to knowledge obtained by experience or experiential knowledge. Eido refers more to knowledge that is not so much what which is known by experience, but by intuitive insight. In context, this spiritual understanding can only be given by the Holy Spirit. The point is that when the Holy Spirit opens the spiritual eyes of one's hearts, they will be able to perceive and know the great truths intuitively beyond a shadow of doubt. That's what God does for us. He gives us knowledge. How do we know that his word is true? We weren't there. God, in his mercy to us, gives us knowledge, intuitive knowledge through the Holy Spirit that his word is true. Everybody in here that's a believer, we know that. We know what we believe. How? Because God revealed it to us intuitively. Now, I hate to go back, but I just want to make sure that everybody in this room understands, right? In verse 6, we talked about the mature. This isn't some elite group of Christians that have been initiated somehow into walking closely with God and hearing his voice. No, all believers have access to the same Holy Spirit. All of us get the Holy Spirit deposited in us when we believe. Nobody in this room is more special than anybody else. So God isn't just talking to some spiritual people in this room. Back in chapter 1, we see that he's addressing all those who are saved. In verse 18, verse 21, he's talking to believers. Verse 24 in chapter 1, he's talking about the called. In chapter 2, verses 13 and 15, he calls them spiritual. He calls us spiritual. You might say to yourself, well, I'm not really a spiritual person. I would say to you, God is saying something to you right now and saying, I want you to be spiritual. I want you to be a spiritual person. In verse 7, we see that the secret and hidden wisdom from God is, it's for all of us here today. We've all been illuminated. When I looked at illumination, I thought I knew what it meant, right? Shining the light on something. But I looked it up in Webster's, and they had some synonyms, and the synonyms there really spoke to me. Here's some of the synonyms for illumination: clarification, exegesis, explanation, illustration, interpretation, and then this one kind of threw me for a loop. Roadmap. I thought, how is roadmap a synonym for illumination? And so I talked to God about that one for a little bit. And I love maps. My wife will tell you, sometimes at night when I'm waiting for her to come to bed, I have one of those little lights, you know, that you can read by. And I turn that light on, and I look at the atlas, right? I have an atlas right next to my bed. And I pull the atlas out and look at places I've never been before and think about what it would be like to go there. I love maps. And God says, look, I have given you a roadmap, and I make it come to life for you. I shine the light on it. That's how God illuminates for us. Here's a quote from Tony Evans. When the Spirit takes spiritual words, the Word of God, and combines them with spiritual thoughts, a mind and a heart in tune with God, the result is divine illumination. When you combine a spiritually receptive mind with the Word, you have dynamite on your hands. That's because He who is spiritual appraises all things. That's from verse 15. Since He has the mind of Christ, verse 16, this is the key to illumination. Having the mind of Christ is having your spiritual antenna pointed in the direction of the Holy Spirit's signal. When you are properly attuned, you will understand more things and make more sense out of life than you ever thought possible. Now, as I thought about this spiritual antenna, I'm not sure I have enough time to share this story, but I thought of all the money that I was giving to this world when I was subscribed to cable. And so I just called and canceled the cable. This was, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago. When I called them, they said, I'm glad you called today, Mr. Bernhard. We have a special offer for you. You can get 200 more channels for the same price. No, you're not understanding, right? I don't want this anymore. So, right, I had these TVs at my house and nothing came on them. And I thought, oh, I wonder how hard it would be to make an antenna. So, of course, you type up how to make an antenna. It's actually pretty simple, right? You just take coaxial cable and you split the end 9.5 inches either way. If you can think of a coaxial cable, maybe many men here probably have looked at one. There's a wire in the middle, and then there's like a mesh on the outside. You just split those 9.5 inches. I don't know why it's 9.5 inches, right? It equals 19 inches when they're all split apart. And I just taped them to a little stick or something. Bam. You can get like, I don't know, 25 or 30 channels for free. The secret is, though, that the antenna has to be in the exact right spot in your room, right? And so you can move it all around and get nothing. But when you get it in the right spot, then you can receive the programming. And I thought about this as an example. How is it that I would have to be in the right spot? And God was kind of saying to me, it's not about your location. It's about the location of your heart to receive what God is sending your way. And so maybe today there's somebody in here who has a heart problem. But you're not receiving any signals from God because your heart is somehow divided. It's not in the right place. I am quickly running out of time, and I have a lot of stuff here, so I'm just going to jump past some things. There are some verses that how do we make that one jump ahead? Am I missing something? Can you make that one jump ahead for me to John 16:13? I just wanted to make sure that you weren't thinking I was just taking one scripture and basing everything on one scripture. There's many, many scriptures that have to do with it. This one's John 16:13. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Jesus is speaking. All the words would be written in red. Jesus says that the Spirit is going to speak to us. Right? How does he guide us into all truth? He speaks and he declares it. How do we understand it? We find that in the next slide, which is Ephesians 1:16-17. It says, I do not cease to give thanks to you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. There it is. By wisdom and revelation, that's how we understand. God gives us wisdom and revelation. The verses that are found in Revelations 3:19-21, I always thought that these verses were for the unsaved, kind of an invitation to come into the kingdom of God. But actually, you see here that those whom I love, I reprove and discipline, right? He's talking to us as believers. These words could be written in red too. Right? If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, we will hear his voice. I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. This is talking about spiritual intimacy. That's what God wants from us. He wants us to be intimate with him today. Now, I found this passage really interesting. This is Luke 8:16-18. And, right, we've sang this song as kids about putting our light under a bushel, right? No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed or puts it on but they put it on a stand so that those who may enter, who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor anything secret that will not be known and come to light. And then this. Take care, then, how you hear. What? I thought we were talking about putting a light under a bushel. And the verse says, take care, then, how you hear. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. I thought, this doesn't make any sense, does it? What is the relationship between seeing the light and hearing? What's the connection between being given more from God to having something taken away? It's a good one for you to think about. I don't have time to explain it right now, or even what God said to me, so I apologize for that, because I really need to get to what God has been saying to me. And I'm not even sure how I can give you the Reader's Digest. Actually, I gave the Reader's Digest version to Kevin and Chris the other day. And this is how it happened. Somebody here at church read a verse, and the verse was Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. Now, when the service was over, someone asked the question, who is this great cloud of witnesses? Who are they? And I said, I had heard people say that it was our loved ones, that have died, that have gone on, that are in heaven, that look in on us. But that didn't sound quite right. We never see that in Scripture, that our loved ones are actually looking in on us and they have nothing better to do than just come watch us down here struggling. So I said, I should probably figure that answer out. And so the answer is actually pretty simple. It's in the first word. The first word is therefore, right? We know what that means. We should go right before that to see what was they were talking about. And what they were talking about was people of faith. It was the Faith Hall of Fame. And so the answer really is faith. The people of faith are watching us, looking in on us. Many times we struggle in our walk. At that very same time, I was reading about the Transfiguration. The Transfiguration is found in Mark chapter 9. It's up there. You can read it if you like. But God was saying something to me that here he was. He took his disciples up there. They were up on the mountain. And all of a sudden, they were enveloped by this cloud. And then they saw Jesus only. I thought, I want that. I want to see Jesus only too. I want to be enveloped by the cloud. And I thought, well, what does the Bible say about clouds? And so what did I do? I started looking it up. I went and looked up a bunch of them, and I really don't even have time to even look at all those that talk about clouds. There are so many scriptures that talk about clouds. And what I found is that, that last one right there, Revelation 1:7. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him. And those who pierced him and all the tribes on the earth will wail on account of him. I looked at these. They're all fantastic. Here's this one we know pretty well, 1 Thessalonians 4:17. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them where? In the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so will we always be with the Lord. Right? God had some things to say to me. And I'll jump right to it since we're completely out of time. This is what God said to me. He said the clouds, right, Scott, should remind you that the end is near, that I am coming back on the clouds. And I thought, Lord, don't I think about you returning all the time? He said, no. No, you don't. You think you do, but you don't. I want you to start remembering and telling people that Jesus is coming back soon. We don't have a lot of time. Now you might say, how did God say all that to you? And I would just say this to you, right? God speaks in three ways, at least three ways. He speaks to us from his word. He speaks to us through the Spirit. And he speaks to us by other people. So in this instance, God was telling me, Scott, I want you to look, see what the Bible says about clouds. How did he do that? Through the voice of another person, reading his word. How did he speak to me and say, this is what it means to you? That's a little bit tougher, right? Because the Holy Spirit gives us that knowledge. He does it where? You might say, he doesn't do it in your thoughts. And I would say, okay. You might say you can somehow discern or cut your thoughts from your spirit. Okay. That's not the way it happens for me. God speaks to me in my spirit, and my thoughts can understand it. Today, God is speaking to all of us. He's telling us all, Jesus is coming back. And he's calling us, each one of us, to a higher level of intimacy with him. If we went around the room and I ask each one of you individually, what's God been saying to you lately? You might be able to come up with something. The men at the mission always give the same answer. They always say, God is telling me to keep on keeping on. And I always say, that's not God. That's not what God says. He never tells you to keep on doing what you're doing. I would challenge you today to ask God what it is that you're saying to me. What it is. And if someone were to ask you, what's God saying to you? You would have in one sentence what it is he's telling you. Today, God wants us to be more intimate with him. He's calling us all to a closer intimacy with him. As the worship team comes up, I apologize for going long and passing over some stuff. Has God said something to you? Did God say something to you this morning? This is what I've done many times. When I'm wondering, is that you, God? Or is it just me thinking about this? I say, God, would you confirm it to me? Would you confirm to me what it is you're saying to me? You can say that this morning. If God has said something to you in this 45 minutes while you've been sitting here, you can ask God to confirm it to you. What it is that he said to you. God doesn't say, oh, talk to the hand. I don't know who you are. I haven't talked to you in a while. It's not what God does. He's merciful. He says, all right, I want you to get it. I will help you. I will confirm it to you. Father, here we are. We get to the end. We need your help. Many times we just discount all of this and say, well, we're just not spiritual. So that's somebody else is more spiritual. Would you just confirm to us that this message that you've spoken to us is for us? We want to be so close to you. We want to be ready for the shout. We want to be ready to see Jesus returning on the clouds. We want to be ready. We don't want to be asleep. So we ask for your help now. Just confirm to us what it is you've said to us. For the glory of Jesus Christ, may it all be. We ask it in his name. Amen.